when this year started, the idea was to go through shilas that have come across my desk, and thank you very much, and to just discuss, the real point was just to give people an idea of the kinds of questions that come up all the time, because very often we're limited by our own experiences and we don't know the different questions that come up, and it gives you like a broad view of halacha, because you could touch on so many different areas of halacha. In recent weeks I seem to have gone more to like picking a topic and just going with that topic. So what I'd like to do is share with you the way we used to do it old school, the way we did it when we started this year, a year and a half ago, is share with you three different questions that came up this week. And we'll try to get through all three of them, but you know, in your preference of order in terms of what to do first. So it's not going to be one long shir, one long marach. It'll be sort of like mini topics. I got an email from a Talmud of mine who is a Rebbe in an elementary school in Florida. And the email was written on behalf of a friend of his, and really he wasn't really asking for my opinion. He knows that I have some connection with Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and he wanted me to send this to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. I think he wanted to get into one of the books, so he asked me if I could send this to Rav Zilberstein. I didn't want to send it to Rav Zilberstein. I'll explain why. Here's the shaila. He was asking on behalf of another Rebbe in the yeshiva. We'll call this other Rebbe in the yeshiva Rabbi S. We'll call him that because that's what his name begins with, and because I can't pronounce his last name. So, Rabbi S. So he says, a few years back, Rabbi S. lost his sitter with the parish of the Masok Midvash. Anyone know who that is? Oh, okay. Is that a hard sefer to come by? The Masok Midvash?
No.
See, it's available in all the Sfarim stores?
He's like the Zohar.
What?
He's like the parish of the Zohar.
Ah, okay. Okay, so it has the parish of the Masok Midvash. I was not familiar with it. Pardon my ignorance. He hadn't seen it for a while, but he never realized that it was lost. He thought it was somewhere in his bookcase at home. After a few years, he got a call from a friend in Eretz Yisrael telling him that he saw someone in his shul using a sitter with the parish of Masok Midvash. He opened it and saw Rabbi S's name in the front cover of the sitter, and Rabbi S's name was crossed out, and this guy's name was in the sitter instead. He told the guy in shul that he actually knows the person whose name that you crossed out. He said, you know, I know Rabbi S. The person who has it claims that there must have been Yayush on the sitter, and therefore it became Hefker, and therefore I don't have to give it back to Rabbi S. I get to keep it. Rabbi S. never realized that it was lost. He also had a siman on it. He had his name on it. Does the finder have to return it, or is he correct in assuming that there was some kind of Yayush? That was question number one. So why didn't I want to send that to Zilberstein? Because he's going to say, you graduated fifth grade, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first sugya we ever learned in Shas. El Metzia Shlo, and then right there in Bab Metzia, you have Bab Metzia Dav Chav Aleph. You don't even have to wait till you get to Chav Beis. Dav Chav Aleph, Machlokas Abaye and Rava, Yeh Shlo Midas, and we Paskin, like Abaye, Yeh, it is one of the Yalkigam, it's the Yud of the Yalkigam, that we Paskin like Abaye, Yeh Shlo Midas, so Lo Avi Yeyush, it's not considered to be Yeyush. So I that's one shaila, but I think there's a little more to it. And we could talk about that, but let's see if maybe you're interested in one of the other ones. Second shaila I got, a fellow sent me an email. I know this guy, and he's not in high school anymore, so I don't know if he's asking for someone else, but he says, in a high school class, the teacher, someone's phone rang in a high school class, and the high school's policy is that they confiscate the phone if it rings in class. Seems like a reasonable policy. We were on a Shabbaton, in a Diara Shabbaton last week, 2 weeks, whenever it was, I don't remember when it was, a few weeks ago, and they had a guest speaker speaking on Shabbos to all the boys. And the room is packed with boys, and the speaker is speaking on Shabbos, and he's about tshuva, and he's giving chizik, and he's learning through Mesilas Yesharim, which is like something that's unbelievable that he was able to sit there learning through Mesilas Yesharim with the guys, and they were spelled down for an hour. And in middle, someone's phone rang, and every Rebbe in the place is like, oh my gosh. And it was one of the workers who was cleaning up. Like, oh, thank God. But But in a classroom, it's understood that if someone's phone rings, the teacher's going to take away the phone. That's the high school's policy. So one of the other students in the class, knows whose phone it was that rang, and he thinks to himself, if that guy gets caught, if he gets his phone confiscated one more time, he's going to be in so much trouble. His parents are going to kill him. He's going to be grounded forever. He's in enough trouble with the school already. So the kid wanted to know, when the teacher says, whose phone was that? Can I raise my hand and say, it was my phone? Give him my phone to save the other person from the embarrassment. You let a lie, such a thing. So there was a certain tzidkus in that shayla. Okay, so that was shayla number two. Shayla number three is a shayla that I had. I'll tell you who I asked, but this year I've had the tremendous zechus. I was afforded the opportunity to go to once a week to sit and discuss with a small group of young rabbanim, or what I consider young, my age and younger. So a small group of young rabbanim to talk over our shaylas. We have a chabura once a week to talk over any shaylas that came up over the course of the week with Marein Rabbeinu Rav Shechter Shlita. And so I go into Yeshiva University one day a week on Wednesday afternoon so that I could learn with Rav Shechter, so I can have this little chabura with him. So I end up being in the Beis Medrash for a little while on Wednesday afternoons, and sometimes people don't want to bother Rav Shechter with their shaylas, so I'm there, and there are a lot of other people there, but they have they'll come over to me and they'll start asking me questions, and like Moreno Rabbeinu was right there, so I didn't know how to react. Someone asks you a shayla and your Rebbe's sitting right there. So am I allowed to even answer the shaylas? So that was a shayla that I had, and I was thinking about it. How does the whole yeshiva operate? If everyone is limited by that, like who else is there? Rabbi Sablovsky sitting upstairs learning the whole day in the Beis Medrash, and there's whoever's there is all Talmid. All the whole generation of YU Rosh Yeshiva now are all Talmidim of Rav Shechter. So nobody's allowed to answer. So I wasn't sure. Like, how do we justify this? How do we deal with it? So that was shayla number three. Okay, any preference? We have shayla number one about the Hashavas Aveda on the Siddur, shayla number two about the cell phone ringing in class, and shayla number three about Mora Alecha B'fnei Rava. Two, we say. We want two first? Okay, we'll do two first.
Was the case that he was asking hypothetically, or he asked in the middle of class what to
do? Oh, no. He wasn't like, hang on. he wasn't calling me in the middle of class asking or emailing me just... No, he was asking after the fact, I assume. Or, I don't even know. The kid who was asking this, I know. He graduated high school a couple of years ago. I think he learned in Karen B'Avner. He must be back from Karen B'Avner already. He's probably some of you know him.
He could be thinking about a question that happened.
What?
Are you here?
Not a DRS boy. He went to Hank. A very tmimistika guy. I remember the first time I spoke in Hank. I go to speak in Hank once a year because I'm good friends with the principal. And first time I went, this guy comes over to me. And he's like, oh, Rabbi Leibowitz, I was listening to this year, and he starts asking me questions, and he's so sincere. And so, I was like, is everyone in Hank like this? This is unbelievable. Or that guy is now, I think he went to Karen B'Avner, I think he's back already. I don't know where he is. So I don't think he was asking, I don't know if he was asking Lemaisa or if he was asking on behalf of maybe a young kid that he learns with. I'm not sure exactly.
Like the garlic story.
Oh, so the first thing that came to my mind is Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, and even for those who do, indulge me, because I like telling this story. The Gemara tells us a series of stories in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph. Ma'aseh Rav Gamliel Shamar Hishkimu Li Shiva La Aliyah. Rav Gamliel said, invite for me seven people to go La Aliyah, because the Aliyah is where they used to go in private to deal with Ibur Shana. They had to decide, are we going to add a month of the year, not add a month of the year? So they had to get a small group of significant Talmidei Chachamim to figure it out, people who also knew the science, obviously, to figure it out what to do. So he said, get me seven guys. Hishkimu Matzah Shmona. So he goes up and he counts, takes attendance, and there are eight guys there. Amar, Mihu Shalla Shalom Bereshus Yered. Whoever came here, whoever crashed the party and was not invited, get out. Amar Shmuel HaKatan Va'amar Anihu Shalisi Shalom Bereshus. Shmuel HaKatan gets up, says, it's me, I'm the one that was Allah Shalom Bereshus. I didn't come to be Marbid the Shana. I just wanted to know how it's done. I wanted to learn from the greats how these things are done. Halavai, everyone should be like you. It's okay, you can stay. All the years should be in the Saber al Yadcha. You have the every right to be involved in such a conversation. It's just that we have a din that you're not allowed to be Marbid Shana with people who are not invited to be here. You need to be Mizuman for this gathering. So says the Gemara, Velo Shmuel HaKatanava. It wasn't even Shmuel HaKatan, it wasn't true. He wasn't the one that came. Shalom Birushus. Eli Inashachrina Umachmas Kisufa Huda Avid. It was someone else, but he didn't want to embarrass the someone else. So he took the blame, and he was the one that said that it was him. So it's mamish the same thing. I was thinking this exactly that Gemara. And the Gemara says, and where did Shmuel HaKatan learn this? So ki hadi Yasif Rabbi Vikadarish. One time Rabbi was saying, Josh, this is what you're referring to. Vi riach reach shum. And he smelled garlic. And he realized someone must have had garlic for lunch. And these hadn't been invented yet. They didn't have Listerine strips yet. So he couldn't just pass around Listerine strips. So someone reeked of garlic. Amar, misha achal shum yetzeh. So he said, whoever ate garlic, get out. I just can't take it anymore. You know, there's midos and being nice, but it's just too much. Amar Rabbi Chiya v'yatza. So Rabbi Chiya got up and he walked out. Amdu kulan v'yatza. So everyone got up and walked out. B'shachar matzah Rabbi Shim b'Rabbi, Rabbi Chiya. The next day, Rabbi Shim b'Rabbi, Rabbi's son, found Rabbi Chiya. Amalei, atahu shetziyarta li'aba? Are you the one that caused my father that much pain, that much difficulty yesterday? You think I would eat garlic before I talk to Rebbe? What am I out of my mind? He's Rebbe. I'm going to be nice to him. So he just did it because it's a good way to end shir. He got up and he left, and everyone got up and left, and they all left. Everyone left the shir. So the shir was over. There's nothing a teacher could do if everyone leaves. So you know, I told the Talmidim, probably I shouldn't have. I said, you know, my 11th grade Talmidim, I said, there's a certain koach in a tzibur that a yachid can't do. A yachid does something in a classroom, the teacher can always punish, control, do something to limit what the yachid could do. But if a whole tzibur gets together and they decide to do, if all of them get up and leave, what's the teacher? You sit down, no, you, no, you, blah, blah, blah. He's gonna, if a whole tzibur, I remember when I was in 8th grade, we had a social studies teacher who committed the terrible sin of actually teaching us a lot. And we really didn't like it. We were very unhappy with her because she would teach us and teach us and teach us. And we learned so much. And we were not pleased. We weren't conditioned like that. That school is a place... Whatever. So one of the guys saw a movie or something the night before. And he said, I have a great idea. I saw this in a movie or a TV show or something. Whenever that's where the idea came from, it's probably not a great idea. So he said, we're going to go around the room. Start with the guy in the front left corner. He'll just scream out the word chop. And he won't say anything else. What's the teacher going to say? Stop talking. He's not talking. He just screamed out one word. Then the next guy will go chop, chop, chop. Straight down the rows of the room. And it'll get... And the teacher will go, stop, don't that. And then it will come to the last one, and the last guy will scream, timber, and everyone falls off their chair. And so we did it, and it was kind of funny. I remember, I'll never forget, Rabbi Hertzberg, the principal, came into the classroom, and you know, he slammed his massive arms down on the desk, and he said, this chop-chop thing, and we respected him so much, we loved him so much. So we were like humiliated. He said, is this an intelligent thing? Like, no, it's not intelligent. But that's the koach of a tzibur, that they could do something. So everyone walks out. Okay, shir is over. Everyone walks out. Nothing you could do. So that was the end of Rabbi Shir. But this one person, Rabbi Chiya, decided to save everyone, save face for everybody. And the Gemara says, where did they get this from? They learned from Rabbi Meir. Titania. There was an Isha Achas that went to Rav Meir's Beis Medrash with a complaint. She comes to Rav Meir's yeshiva and says, I got problems with the boys in your yeshiva. What happened? Did someone not say please or thank you or not hold the door open for you? What happened? What was the bad midos? Amr lo, Rebbe, echon michem kitchani bibiya. One of them was Mekadish me with Bia. Well, we may want to look into that. Amr Rebbe Meir of a Kasav Laget Krisus. Rav Meir right away gets up and writes her, get creases. Ki'ilu, he was the one that did it. V'nasanla, and he gave it to her. Amdu kasvu kulam v'nasanla. They all then wrote a get creases and gave it to her. obviously, because without saying, Reb Meir was not the one who was Mekadisha with Bia. But Reb Meir didn't want to embarrass the one who was Mekadisha with Bia, but at the same time wanted to take care of this woman's Nebuch situation where she's stuck with this guy, so he wanted to take care of her and make sure she receives a get. So this way she definitely received a get from the guy who was Mekadisha with Bia. A lot of kashis you could ask on the practicality of that story. How did she not know? And what exactly happened? Did she want to be Mekadeshes too? Was there Ratzon Ha'ish over there? Was it not? What exactly was going on? But those are the stories the Gemara says. So it seems like black and white in the Gemara that if you're in a situation where someone else is about to be embarrassed, is about to be humiliated, and you have the ability to stop the humiliation by taking the blame, even if taking the blame is not true, it's not the truth, that you're allowed to take the blame. So it seems pretty black and white. However, with the impression you get from all these stories in the Gemara is that everyone knew that the person who claimed to be guilty wasn't guilty. I mean, everyone realized that it wasn't a lie, that the person wasn't lying, because no one thought that the person was really guilty. Because it was the next day. Yeah, they said, you're the one that Shetziarta Asaba and Mestama, all the Talmidim of Rebbe were pretty good Talmidim, and none of them would have, you wouldn't have guessed any of them. Okay, so it's reasonable that it could have been him. I thought Shmuel HaKatan also, that it wasn't so obvious. And Shmuel HaKatan, but Rabbi Chia, he never told a lie. He just walked out. Shmuel HaKatan actually said, I'm the one, Ani Ushalis Shlober Shos. What's the Lashon? He said, Ani, yeah, that's the Lashon.
Well, I got it right. Is it going to be different if the guy just raises his hand indicating it's the cell phone without speaking?
Or to just
yeah, like,
hand the cell phone over or something like that.
And when you walk out, you're representing the lie.
I asked my brother this, Shaila, and he, sometimes he's helpful, sometimes he's not. He said, he said, doesn't the kid know you're supposed to carry a dummy cell phone with you? Does he not realize that? One of my Talmidim said, no, everyone should hand in their cell phones. They should all take the blame, meaning mamish, like take the, literally like the Gemara says. So I came across in this is why I brought this book. You ever see these Shas Lublin things? It's like before the Masifta became so popular, this was like another version of Masifta, but it's not quite as good as the Masifta. It's not quite the Masifta. So in the back of the Shas Lublin, he quotes a Sefer Chassidim. I didn't look it up. Sefer Chassidim quotes Siman Chav Beis. Whenever you look up a Sefer Chassidim, a lot of times the Siman Amarav, because there are two different printings. There's the old printing of the Sefer Chassidim, and the Masada Rav Kook printing of the Sefer Chassidim changed the numbers around a little bit. But he quotes Sefer Chassidim, Shem Nimtza Adam B'chaburus B'nei Adam V'nasa Davar Echad Shelo Kahogen. If you're in a group of people and someone does something wrong, V'lo Noda Mi'achote, and you don't know who the wrongdoer is, Tzarech Sheyomar Ani Hu Shechatasi. Tzarech Sheyomar. You need to say, I'm the one that sinned. Afal bi shalochat, even though it's not true. Ve'vi raya mi ma'isa de Reb Meir, shekos of nasan get krisus. And he brings a raya from the ma'isa of Reb Meir. And the mefarish over there says, on the Sefer Chassidim, shalo yomer aniyu shasisi davrzeh sha'ozi yasheker, el rak yomer aniyu shachatasi. Don't say, I'm the one that did this, because that's sheker. Rather say, aniyu shachatasi. Because everyone sins, so unless you're one of the five people, or however many people it was in the Gemara in the end of the first paragraph of Babasa, they never ever sinned. So it's accurate to say, Anihu Shechatasi. Shekivin Shekali Yisrael Arevim Zelzeh. Oh, he says, no, not because you sinned, but Shekivin Kali Yisrael Arevim Zelzeh Areza Kimi Shechata Ktsas Viatma. It's as if you sinned a little bit also because of Kali Yisrael Arevim Zelzeh. Now, I don't understand that Mefarish at all. What does he do with Shmuel HaKatan? And also, you learn from here, Tzarech, that you have to. Everyone, right. First of all, the Gemara is right that you don't have to, because if you had to, then everyone would have done it. And not everyone did it. One person did it, and then set the example for everybody else. Very hard to understand that. And also, the Gemara makes a big deal about these Gedolim, and the Gemara says, Mehecha Lamad. Hey, where did this one learn it from? Oh, he learned it from the previous generation, who learned it from that generation. Mehecha Lamad. It's halacha! Tzarech! You have to do it. The impression you get is that not at all that it's tzarech, but the impression you get is that it's mutter, that you're allowed to. So the question is, why are you even allowed to? Why is this permissible? Generally speaking, you're not allowed to tell a lie. So he tries to be careful. He says, the Mefarish over there on the Rabbi Dachas says, don't say words of lie. The Pasuk says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, Zmachlokes HaPoskim, Machlokes Mefarshim, really. Midvarsha of a friend who's a Rashiva YU, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, wrote a whole book, two books so far, a third one coming out soon, on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And in his first book, I think there's The Right and the Good, he has a whole essay on truth-telling and the importance of telling the truth and not telling a lie. So he goes through all the chakiras, all the lamdish chakiras about the issue of telling a lie. So one of the chakiras is it an issue to say words of untruth or to give a false impression? Is it about, one of the ways of formulating it, is it an issur ben adam l'chaveiro or is it an issur ben adam l'atzmo? What if I sit in a room quietly the whole day and no one is listening and I just lie to myself? I say, you're 6'4", you have a full head of hair, I just sit there lying to myself. You're great at basketball, you're a musician, I lie to myself all day long. You're a genius, this and that. So is that a violation of anything? Did I violate an Avera? Is it an Avera because you're giving someone else a false impression? Or is the Avera just to say, to be motzi mipiv, words of a lie? So it's interesting when the Torah says Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Where's the sugya Midvar Sheker Tirchak? The Gemara is in Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos has a whole amud of stories of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, and it's not what you expect. You expect it to be don't tell a lie means don't. When someone says did you do this thing that's wrong? Did you leave the door open to the house? Your mother asks, did you leave the door open to the house? And you shouldn't lie and say that you didn't, right? That's what you'd expect. The Gemara has like 15 examples of Midvar Shuas Lamed Aleph, 15 examples of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. The only thing they all have in common is none of them are a lie. They're all about avoiding situations that would lead to a lie or that give a false impression, all of them. So and it says that's how we know Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So if the issue of Midvar Sheker Tirchak is not to give false impressions, so then obviously you can't give any false impression. If it's just not to say words of a lie, then the issue is that, so some say Midvar Sheker, it doesn't say Lo Teshaker, which is the normal issue of in Lashon of Issur in the Torah. Midvar Sheker, so some say it means when you have to lie, at least avoid Dvar Sheker. At the very least, avoid, I think that was Naim Latara writes like that, at least avoid a Dvar Sheker. Don't say words that are an actual lie. Where do we learn that?
Yaakov
Avinu. Yeah. That's where that was Naim Latara writes it. That at least you could say, Anochi, Esav B'charecha, something like that, where the words you say could at least be interpreted to be the truth. Others say, no, don't focus on Midvar Sheker, focus on Tirchak. Normally, an Isser in the Torah is don't do something. Over here, it's not just don't do something, it's tirchak. Stay far away from it. That it's beyond. It's like a harchaka that's in the Torah, that's in the Torah itself. So a person has to stay as far away from a lie as possible. But yet, so truth is a very, very high value in Judaism. And it's a value that we have to hold very, very dear to our hearts. And it's something that, unfortunately, in culture around us, Jews are not known for truth. The word Jew in many circles is a verb, and it is not a good verb. To Jew somebody is not a good thing. Jews should be known for truth. We should be the Orlagayim. We should be known. Rav Shechter started crying yesterday when we were talking to him. Someone said, if you have two contractors to hire, for work in your house, and one of them is a Jew, one of them is a non-Jew, but it's Yadua, that the Jew will overcharge you, will cheat you, will steal from you, will. So Shechter, he just lost it. He was like, he cries easily, but still, he said, that's what a Jew is known for. That a Jew should be known for something like we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the paradigms of what's right and good and yashrus and what's proper. That's what a Jew is known for. So a Jew has to hold emes. Chosama shel Kadosh Baruch Hu emes. When Shabbos tells us that Hashem signs His name with emes. Shoshet Varma Olam Omeid Olam Kayam emes. We believe very, very strongly in MS. But it's not the highest value. There are values that are higher than MS. So what's a value that's higher than MS?
Shalom.
Shalom is higher than MS. The thing is, you have to be careful how you apply that. So sometimes shalom is, I did something wrong, I'd rather not fess up to it. So my shalom would be if I don't confess to it. You have to be a little careful how you apply that shalom is a higher value than MS. But mishan shalom, you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace. If your wife asks you, how do you like the chicken I made tonight for dinner? And you happen to think it tastes bland, just a little marital advice. Don't say it's kind of bland, you know, are you slacking or something? Like, don't say that. You may want to say, oh, it's delicious. Or if you're worried that she's going to keep on making it because it's so delicious, you may want to say, I don't know, what do you think? I don't know, something. You may want to say in some, yeah.
Doesn't anyone want to say other things also perceived? Like
cinnamon. Other things also, like?
Yes.
More, Puria, what context? Puria. Ah, Puria. So the Gemara says you're allowed to lie about Masechta. Someone asks you, what do you, you know, what do you, is it true that you know all of Shas? When you deal with a certain demographic of people. I remember I was like this when I was in Keren Biavne. I think like right after high school, even like probably from 12th grade through like first or second year back from yeshiva, I wanted to believe that everyone was a Baki in Shas. So if I met anyone who could quote any Gemara, so that they can quote that Gemara, Mistama, they can quote every Gemara, so I assumed that everyone was Baki in all of Shas. So if I were to go, if someone were to go over to you and say, is it true you know all of Shas? So let's say it is true that you know all of Shas. So you don't have to say that it's true, you know. You're allowed to lie about that. You don't have to say that you know all of Shas. You could say that you know less than all of Shas. Nowadays, people lie about it, but they go in the other direction. Bavli and Yerushalmi. But you really are supposed to lie in that direction. I was just at a Sima Shas. A good friend of mine, Rabbi Yoni Levin, made a Sima Shas last week. He makes every 10 months, I think. Every 11 months or so, he makes a Sima Shas. There's like 8 blood a day or something. It's crazy. And so he made a Sium last month, Soy Shabbos. And he invited Rav Shechter to come, and Rav Moshe Weinberger. It was a very beautiful thing. And he introduced Rav Shechter to speak. And he said, when I told Rav Shechter that I was making a Sium on Shas, he said, oh, that's so nice. I never made a Sium on Shas. So Rabbi Levin said, I assume what he meant is, when he was introducing Rav Shechter, I assume what he meant is that he never made a Su'udah to celebrate a Sium on Shas. So Rabbi Shechter got up to speak and he said, thank you very much for the introduction, but no, I really meant that I never was Messiah Shas. So how do you know it? did the Malach just like forget to like tap you? I assume he was passing like this Gemara that you're allowed to lie about these things, that a person is allowed to lie about such things. So is this something that, but on the list is not saving someone from embarrassment. That's not on the list of things that you're allowed to lie, or not saving someone from trouble. So Rav Shechter thought that the Gemara is giving examples of the types of things you're allowed to lie about. And saving someone from embarrassment, saving someone from being in a lot of trouble, he thought was a ma'aseh tzidkus that a person is allowed to lie about, especially if the person is going to be embarrassed. Because embarrassment, we assume, it may be an inyan of l'samer al dam re'echa, b'miktas, a little bit of l'samer al dam re'echa. You're not supposed to see if someone else's life is threatened. You're not supposed to just stand by and watch their life be threatened. And suffering public humiliation, the Gemara in Tevez Daf Yomi actually, Sota Daf Yud, the Gemara says is considered to be the equivalent of, or even worse than dying, the Gemara says. The Gemara learns it from the Maisa with Yehuda and Tamar in Sota Daf Yud. The Gemara says that Noach l'ladim sha'apil atzmol tov kivshan eish val yabim p'nei chaveru barabim. That better for a person to throw himself into a kivshan eish than embarrass someone else publicly. Minolan mi Tamar, because Tamar had the opportunity to either embarrass Yehuda and say that he these things belong to him and he's the one that was that was boel me, but she chose not to. She just said the guy who owns these things without embarrassing him publicly, even though she risked her life for that. She could have died. He could have never confessed and she would have died. So Tosus on the spot raises the question. Tosus says, I learned Pesachim Daf Chafhei, and it says, and probably Tosus learned Sanhedrin also, where it says that there are three averos that are Yehari Val Yavar. There are three averos, Yarg Val Yavar, Malbatei Chaver, Barabim is not one of them. So it says, yeah, because we're only listing the ones that are Mufurish Bekra. But in a chinami, Malbatei Chaver, Barabim is also Yarg Val Yavar. Rabbi Yonah famously says that Malbatei Chaver, Barabim is an Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. So it is one of the big three. It's an Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. They're Medaik that way in the Ramah. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes that if anyone does any of those big three averos, or any iser lav associated with either avodah zarah, gilui arayos, or shvichas damim, it's yarig val yavar. So all the acharim ask, I could think of lavin that are associated with gilui arayos and with avodah zarah. What kind of lav is associated with shvichas damim? say must be that the Rambam is referring to Mam Pnei Chaver Bram. Some are Medayik that way. I think there's a Prichadash like that. And some are Medayik that way. So Halbanas Panim is considered to be a very, very terrible thing. Now, here, this guy's not embarrassing anyone. It's just the teacher's embarrassing, and the teacher has to be careful about that also. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein has a beautiful sefer called the Chanech Besimcha. If anyone goes into Chinuch, and even if you're just going to be a parent, it's a nice thing to read. Mechanech Besimcha, that had to be Mechanech. If you ever met Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, he's like the most delicious Jew in the whole world. He is just like so full of life and joy and kindness and just a very, very special person to meet. And when I went to visit him, he said, "Ooh, Kvod HaRav," you know, like, what can I give you? So I'm like, I have all of your sarm. There's nothing that you have that I don't own already. So he says, he tells his assistant to bring out a new sefer that he had just come out with. L'chanech b'simcha. I said, I didn't know it wasn't in stores in America yet. I said, you wrote a book on chinuch? He said, lo, l'chanech b'simcha. He wrote a book on chinuch b'simcha. So that's like the whole book is like that. It's so very nice. So he has a whole thing about how teachers have to be very, very careful not to embarrass students. If you could reprimand a student in a way that's not going to be embarrassing, so you shouldn't embarrass the student. So we should try to save people from embarrassment as much as possible. Shrif Shechter thought this would be something that's permissible to lie, and it's a Maisat Tzidkus to do this. Not an obligation, a person doesn't have to do it, but if a person wants to confess, it's a Maisat Tzidkus, there's nothing wrong with doing it. Okay, that's my what I have to say on Shaila number two. One or three? Which Shaila do you want to do next?
Three?
Everyone wants three. You think number one is so obvious. Okay. Shaila number three was about paskening when Rav Shechter is in the Beis Medrash, and I assume this comes up for other people also. That anyone who went to the yeshiva who gets smicha and people ask shailas, so you have, yeah.
It could be that nowadays, like, no one's really paskening halacha; everyone's saying what's quoted from Sfarim.
Good. So there are two ways to attack this. The issue is to be mora halacha b'fnei rabba. So you could either take away the term mora and say I'm not doing mora, or you could take away the term rabbo and say that's not really my rebbe. Those are your best approaches. For example, Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that Rav Soloveitchik used to tell them that when you pask in a shayla, you're not allowed to pask in a shayla without looking at Svarim, even if you know the answer. Because nowadays the rebbe mufak of every person is a sefer. We learn more from Svarim than we do from people. And therefore, it's a violation of Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabba if someone asks you a shayla and you don't look in the sefer, which is pretty amazing. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik, he'll say, just look it up. He used to look it up in the sefer, even if he didn't need to look it up in the sefer. Rav Shechter told us someone once called Rav Soloveitchik with a shayla, and Rav Soloveitchik didn't call the guy back right away. So the guy in the meantime called Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe told him, open up a Shulchan Aruch, and he told him what siman to open up to, look three lines from the top, look in the shach. And Rav Moshe knew Balta, every Prima Gadim, he knew Balta. So he said, look in the Shach, now look in the Prima Gadim. Okay, and he dealt with the Shaila. So Rav Soloveitchik then called the guy back. And the guy was embarrassed to say, I already got an answer. So what Rav Soloveitchik used to do when he'd call him with the Shaila, he was very annoyed. People misunderstood. This was something Rav Shechter explained to me. I said, why did Rav Soloveitchik trust everyone to Paskin? I mean, you always hear these stories where people say, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that I'm a rabbi now, I should paskin on my own. And some of these people don't know anything. Like, why would he trust people who know very, very little to paskin just because they have the name rabbi to paskin on their own? So he said, that's not what was happening. Rabbi Soloveitchik was annoyed if you'd call him with a shayla and you didn't do any research beforehand. Where it's just, okay, tell me. If you were a rabbi and you're calling him with a shayla, he wanted you to look in Shulchan Aruch first, try to figure it out, then call, so you could discuss it intelligently. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik called the guy back, and the guy said, Rav Soloveitchik said, no, what do you think? So the guy said, well, there's a shach, three lines from the top, there's a prima gadim. Rav Soloveitchik said, okay, who did you speak to? He immediately knew that there's no way this guy found it. He said, okay, I spoke to Rav Moshe. He admitted that he spoke to Rav Moshe. So we have to, so our best bet at coming up with the kula, l'chor, is either to say, no matter how much Torah I learned from my Rebbe, he's not considered Rabbo, because maybe Svarim are considered Rabbo, or maybe I have so many Rebbeim through the course of my life. You know, my 10th grade Rebbe changed my life, and my 11th grade Rebbe changed my life, and my 12th grade Rebbe. Everyone changed, you know, everyone had such a deep impact. So how can I say that this one Rebbe, Rav Shechter used to tell us that when you're picking Masada Kiddushin, he said, don't pick me. Find the high school Rebbe. If you're sitting in my shir, probably someone turned you on to learning. So find the high school Rebbe who turned you on to learning. That one should be a Masada Kiddushin. I call Shein Habakkuk B'tiv Gittin V'Kiddushin. It shouldn't have an Isak Imam, shouldn't be involved in Gittin V'Kiddushin. And a lot of the high school Rebbeim, it's not their thing. It's not what they do. Okay, Akasha. But you have so many Rebbeim. So maybe that's one angle. The other angle take is what's called a Hara. For example, a person is not allowed to be Mara Halacha without Heter Hara. Without Heter Hara is what we call Smicha. Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin talks about how you need to get smicha. Why do you need to get smicha? So it's interesting. If you learn the sugya, it's not because they were afraid people would paskin when they didn't know the answer. That wasn't the concern. That's a contemporary machala. That wasn't always the case. The people think that if you say, I don't know, that it's going to make you look stupid, and they're afraid to say, I don't know, when they don't know. So they pretend to know, but that wasn't always the machla. People used to be able to say, I don't know. I was talking to a Talmud of mine who's going into Rabbanus. And he said that someone asked him a question in a shir, and he said, I was flustered, I didn't know the answer, so I made something up, and I said like this. That's not what you do. You don't make something up and say like this. You say, I don't know, we'll have to look into it, I really don't know the answer. You could say, I don't know. I said, think about it. Who knows more Torah than anybody you know? And this person said, Rabbi Shachter knows more Torah than anybody. I knew he was going to answer that. I said, who says, I don't know, more often than anybody you know? He says, Rabbi Shachter says, I don't know, more often than anybody I know. It's okay. No one thinks he's a fool. It's okay to admit when you don't know something. Half the time he says, I don't know, it means something else. But it's okay to say, I don't know. So the Gemara's concern wasn't that people were going to pass when they didn't know. The Gemara's concern that people couldn't express themselves properly. The Gemara tells a story that someone came to a town and he said, why is everything tameh in this town? All the you're not dealing with Tara properly. Everything's suchshul kabel tuma with meibitzoyim, with the water from the swamps. So they said, no, there was a guy that came to town, a big chacham, he's a big scholar in residence, came to town, and he told us that meibitzoyim are in a machshirin. The meibitzoyim are not machshul kabel tuma. So we wash everything with meibitzoyim, with the water from the swamps, and it's not machshul kabel tuma. And he said, you fools, he meant meibitzim. That egg whites are not machshil kabel tuma, not maybe it's not water from swamps, and they just misunderstood because he had a speech impediment. He couldn't communicate. It's not that he didn't know the halacha; he couldn't communicate. So then they said a person can't pass an halacha until they get a bechina, not a bechina in what they know, a bechina in how well they can articulate oration. Ideas.
Oration.
What?
Oration.
What do you say?
Oration.
Oration, yes, exactly. I'm saying, what? they have to become an orator, they have to know how to speak. It's true, the Gemara says, that they did get a bechina. Once they were giving the bechina, they tested them what they know. Yati bechara, they would give smicha in little segments of knowledge. You know how to check for mumen in a bechara before you mat to the bechara. Okay, so then you can pass on that, you know how to do this. Yadin, Yora, can you pass on this avatar? Yora. So that's the way they would do it. But the impetus to create hetero ra, because there's no isser to say a halacha when you know the halacha. If someone says to you, what do you think? I'm thinking about murdering someone. You think it's a good idea or a bad idea? So you're allowed to say, there's an isser in the Torah, lo tirtzach. I don't have smicha. Who am I to paskin that there's lo sirtzach? You're allowed to paskin. I remember when I was in Kerem Biavna, that we just had the yard site of Yitzchak Rabin. Remember when we were in Kerem Biavna, one of the alumni had murdered Yitzchak Rabin. So the mashkiach got up and he said, you know, for years I've been giving drashas and musar shmos and about lo sirtzach means don't embarrass him publicly and don't do this. He said, I forgot to say all these years. Don't go and murder somebody. Wasn't funny then, because it was really it was quite a scene. So maybe we could argue that way, that it's not called hora'a. We asked Rav Shachter, can a woman paskin, let's say, nida shailas, something like that. So he said, anyone who knows halacha can paskin. It's just that you have to be very careful about thinking that you can paskin halacha when you know one area of halacha. It's a very unhealthy way to learn. You only study one area of halacha, because the Torah, aniyim b'makom echer, ashirim b'makom echer. You could learn all of Maseches Gittin and not know a certain halacha by get that only appears in Baba Kama. You have to study very broadly in order to know. Meaning, the way Rabbi Willick put it is, you can study a certain area of halacha very, very well. He said he's spoken to people who can study a certain area of halacha very, very well, but they don't know what a Sfek Sveika is. because I don't have a background in learning in general, or to learn, you know, to have a broad knowledge of learning. So what do we do over here? Mara alach b'fnei rabba. So I thought one of these would be the makom hetik. You open up a shul. So first of all, you open up the sugi is erevin samach gimel. So in erevin, the Gemara tells us not to be mara alach b'fnei rabba. The Gemara says afilu be'yasu b'kudcha. Be'yasu b'kudcha is supposed to mean even a very simple halacha. Be'yasu is beitzah la'ochla b'kutach, which has nesiobi dechalba. Can you mix an egg with something that has milk ingredients? Is an egg considered flesh? The answer is no. An egg's not considered flesh. Can you make a cheese omelet? Yes, I just had one tonight. So it's nothing wrong with that. So you need. So it sounds like the Gemara says still can't paskin that. So it sounds like if we're going to look for hora'a to be that, or that's not going to work out. So what about maybe say okay, maybe he's not really my Rebbe. So the Rama points out in Shulchan Aruch in Reish Mem Beis. If Dalid, I think, he says that a Talmud Chaver B'tok, Rama writes, V'hai Muvhakim, when we talk about a Rebbe Muvhak, Lo Mairi Kishar Rabba Muvhak Sharov Chachmasu Mimenu. We don't mean a Rebbe Muvhak that you learn Rav Chachmasu from. Dimkein Lo'av Shalios Harbe Rabosav Muvhakim. Because the Halacha assumes that one can have more than one. So Rebbe Muvhak doesn't mean Rav Chachmasu. He says all Rebbe Muvhak means in this context is someone who's not your equal, not a Talmud Chaver. Talmud Chaver means I have many Talmidim now, Baruch Hashem, I've been teaching for 17 years, I have many Talmidim now who have far surpassed me in learning, and certainly are at least equal in learning. So that's what they call a Talmud Chaver. So a Talmud Chaver has a different din than Rabbi Muvhak. But a Rebbe who's still greater than you in learning would still have the din of Rebbe. So now we struck out over here. It can't be. We weren't successful in knocking out Hora. We weren't successful in knocking out Rabbo. So you read the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Asula Adam Lahoros Lefnei Rabbo Li Olam V'Kalamor Lefanav Chayv Misa." Doesn't sound good. Chayv Misa anywhere within Shalosh Parsaos. If you're Yud Beis meal away and someone asks you a Dvar Alacha B'Derech Mikre Yochel LaHashiv. But lekavoa atzma l'ra v'leishiv l'horos apilu besofa olam asa l'horos atshiyamus rabo atshiitin l'rashus. You can't hang out a shingle posek if your rebbe's still alive. Because of brava muvak, but not by Talmud Chaver. V'yeshom the Talmud Gomer toch yud beiz mil chayiv misim humar chayiv chutz yud beiz mil pater avalaser. Some say it's only pater avalaser. Very, very strong, no? So what do we do about this?
Sounds like only five people in the world.
Right, there would be very few. The five people who taught everyone else, the Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich, or whichever Rosh Yeshiva you hold by in Panovich, and the Rosh Yeshiva in this Yeshiva, it's going to be...
Well, he said if he gave Rosh.
If he gets Rosh Yeshiva, then you can pask it. But not to set up...
Not setting up...
So then he goes on to say... Ain't Talmud Yachal Lismach Achayim B'Makom. You're not allowed to give smicha. And then Lo Mikri Hora El Kshemora Al Ma'isa Shebalafanav. It's only a hora if it's a ma'isa shebalafanav. But if they just ask you to give halacha shir, that you're allowed to do. Then he comes up with the big kula. I mean, not a big kula, but the only kula. Lo Mikri Hora El B'Davar Sheish Bo Chidush L'Shoel. Aval B'Hora Yadua Shipshuta L'Kol. So we call Zil Kari Bei Ravu. Or maramakom hula. If someone asks you something, you just say, open up a Shulchan Aruch. Look, it says there. So that you're allowed to do. The Gemara said, feel be'asa b'kutcha. So the Shach says, it must have been that. It's not something that was so obvious. Hard to imagine. It sounds like, afilu be'asa b'kutcha. It sounds like it means the most obvious thing. So I asked Rav Shach what the heter is. So he said that, I figured, what better person to ask? So he said, I said, what do people do here in yeshiva? So he said that he remembers of Nissen Alpert Zichron Levracha said that L'chora, it should be usher for anyone in New York to paskin. And Nissen Alpert died like within a month of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was his Rebbe. So there were like three YU Rosh Yeshiva that spoke at Rav Moshe's Levaya. None of them were introduced as a YU Rosh Yeshiva. Nissen Alpert was introduced as Talmud Muvhak. Rav Zav Lipschitz was introduced as Slovakar Rav. And I forgot who Rav Moshe David Talmud as his son-in-law. So anyway. So Rav Nissen Alpert died just a short time after Rav Moshe. Rav Nissen Alpert said, no one in New York should be allowed to paskin a shayla ever, because Rav Moshe is alive. Elamai, what would happen if every Shaila had to go to Rav Moshe? It would be impossible. Rav Moshe would never be able to breathe. He would never be able to learn. He would never be able to. It would be 24/7. It would be impossible. It's already impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu in Yisrael, right? So it's understood that the Rebbe needs you as his shliach to deal with the smaller things, and you have to have the anivus to know when you don't, or the honesty to know when you don't know something, and then you go bring the Dover Gadol. You go hope to set up a chabura. If you have an opportunity to sit with the Gadol, it's unbelievable, and you grab that opportunity and you go sit with the Gadol to ask him questions like, why am I allowed to paskin? And he'll hopefully paskin those questions for you, and he'll be able to help you out with those questions. I think that's got to be the real head to, otherwise it's impossible. Like you said, only 5 people in the world would be able to have a paskin shaylas. Okay, with shayla number one, let me just tell you what the cheshbon was. I know I don't want to go past my time, but the cheshbon was that many shuls and yeshivas have a minhag that after a certain time they put everything out and they send out an email and they hang up a sign. Whatever's not claimed within X amount of time is hefker. So let's say this guy got the sitter after that. Is the shul authorized to do that, and would that in fact make it hefker even with a name and even without yesh? That's a shaila. I think it could be that they have that they're authorized to do that. If they are authorized to do that, we have to figure out why, with what mechanism. If they're not authorized to do that, we have to figure out why they all do that. So that's that. Okay, maybe for a different time. A good Shabbos, everybody.